Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Troilus Gold, traded on the TSX under the symbol TLG and on the OTCQX under the symbol CHXMF. We are chatting with the CEO, Justin Reed. Now, Troilus Gold is focused at the former gold and copper Troilus mine. This is in Quebec. That mine was in production from the mid-1990s to 2010, produced over 2 million ounces of gold and nearly 70,000 tons of copper. Troilus is moving forward with this project already with an 8.1 million ounce resource, a PEA done back in 2020. But since that time, the company's been doing a lot of exploration, and the news release that we're covering was released May 4th. Last week, it's more drilling from the southwest zone, and we saw some high-grade numbers, some of the highest-grade numbers I believe we have seen in this zone, with the headline numbers saying little over 13.5 grams per ton gold equivalent over 3 meters. That also included an even higher-grade zone of almost 30 grams per ton gold over 1 meter. Start off with just explaining the southwest zone, because from my understanding, this is going to have a big impact as the company moves forward with the pre-feasibility study. But this southwest zone was discovered not that long ago, in late 2019. Talk about the growth that we're seeing at the southwest zone here, please, Justin.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on and talking about this great press release. Yeah, the southwest, like you said, was discovered about 2 years ago. And in 1 month, we drilled 8,000 meters and defined 600,000 ounces of gold at surface. That was the cutoff for our PA. We put out our mineral resource of 8.1 million ounces and then put out the initial economics. What we really liked about it, it was on the road. It was 2.5 kilometers from the main zones of mineralization. And it's in the what we call the shadow of the head frame, so economically viable. From a distance perspective, we have since drilled about another 120,000 meters. We've expanded the footprint of the mineralization from what was 400 meters in strike length to over 1.85 kilometers, from a couple hundred meters in width to over 600 meters. So the footprint of the southwest is now larger than 87 and the J zone combined. And that's where 2 million ounces of gold and 70,000 tons of copper was produced. What we really like as well about the southwest is that surface. We have lots of ounces in the other pits, and our development scenario will include pushbacks of those mines to get to the ore. But all the ounces in the southwest come to surface. So very low strip ratio, very accessible, and the term we use internally is kind of best ounces first. So when you have higher margin ounces that can feed a mill early in a new development, you increase your margin, you expedite your payback, and you drive your NAV. So Southwest is giving us all of that.
Yeah, Justin, we just had Blake on the show somewhat recently, and he was joking. He said, we're putting out the PFS because we want to show people that really we would have liked to have found the Southwest Zone first at the beginning, and we would have put more time here. But you have had 5 drills on it. You have been drilling it intensely. And there's also this area now that I guess you're calling the gap zone, where we were also joking with Blake that almost every company has a gap zone or a connector zone or a bridge zone or one of those things. But this legitimately is a gap zone between the known deposit and the southwest zone. So there's also some ongoing drilling there too. So ultimately, do you think this all could connect into one larger system?
Yeah, when you start looking at the maps and more importantly, you start looking at the continuity of surficial geochemistry and you start looking at the geophysics, there are kind of straight lines connecting the two. Yeah, we have a gap zone and everybody does, but we put out a few holes in it that were really focused, as Blake talked about, on stratigraphy. We're trying to identify, are the right rocks there? Are we seeing alteration, which would suggest that the system can continue? Well, we not only hit the right rocks, but we hit some pretty high-grade gold and over quite reasonable thicknesses. So this is a function of the previous operator, which was Inmet, being a global base metal company, in a $300 gold environment, focusing their dollars elsewhere. and they had Cobre Panama, which is now the sixth largest copper mine in the world. We would have done the exact same thing. So very little capital was ever invested during the 20-year from discovery to conclusion life of this mine. So it's not that IMET did bad work. IMET did no work, and that was the opportunity for us. So that 8.1 million ounces is going to grow significantly with our new resource coming out middle summer. And I think those five drills, which were on the southwest, are all now sitting on the gap. And I think you're going to see continued growth. And so that's going to turn, Troilus is already targeting, you know, 35,000 tons a day for 20 plus years, producing over 250,000 ounces of a year of gold. I think this, with continued success, could show us a generational scale asset.
So, Justin, there are a number of holes released within this news release, and a lot of the holes, let's say majority of the holes, are located outside of that pit shell in the southwest zone. Makes sense because it is relatively a small portion of the current resource. Sounds like that's going to grow a lot. But when you look at these drill results, the headline numbers, you see some very high grades over 1 to 3 meters, let's say. You also have some lower grade intercepts over larger widths, like 1.28 grams per ton gold equivalent, over 14 meters. There are some other intercepts over 6 meters, over 10 meters, all around, let's say, 1 to 3 grams. From a corporate perspective, what's more valuable to you? Is it the high grade over narrow widths, or is it the longer widths of still reasonable grade?
Yeah, great question. The higher grades are flashy, and they provide a lot of margin. But for us, this isn't a high-grade, narrow-vein underground mine. This is a large open-pit mine. We're going to be mining this ore body at a cutoff grade of 0.3 grams, just like Malartic does, just like Detour does, just like a lot of our peers do. And so for me, and for the economics of this deposit, obviously, I want thick intervals above cutoff grade, because that's what's going to really make this ore body or make this deposit. These higher grade intervals pay for a lot of things. And when you look at the historic production records of Troilus, they always had a 10 to 15% positive grade reconciliation, ton after ton after ton in the ore body. And what that really equates to is a lot of these higher grade zones that you were just talking about. The main trend of the ore body is northeast southwest. There is a later stage of mineralization that cross cuts it perpendicular. And that's bringing in a lot of later quartz veins and higher grades running up to 90 grams, like what we released a couple of weeks ago. And so it all comes back to the mean. It's going to add to the economics, but for me, it's the 14 to 20 meter swath for sure, because that's what's going to drive the mine.
Well, Justin, just explain to people that are looking at this project how significant it will be growing the ounces here at the Southwest Zone, as you mentioned, that are near surface, that don't have to involve a pit wall pushback. You know, why is it so important for the company to keep focusing in this area, not just the Southwest Zone, but also the Gap Zone, just from an economic standpoint, as you start working towards that PFS?
No, good question. For a couple of reasons. First of all, we talk about strip ratio technically. And so really what a strip ratio is how many tons of waste do I have to move to get to one ton of ore, which is money. And the main mine, if we were focusing on 87 or on the J zone, it's about right in the PA was 3.9. We've done a bunch of things in our pre-fees that you'll see they'll bring it down to kind of 3.1 or 3. And so we're going to have to move 3 tons of $0 rock for 1 ton of ore, which we process. In the southwest, the mineralization comes to surface. So with the exception of moving essentially overburden, which is kind of till and sand and dirt, we're going to be in ore on day one. So you're going to see a significant reduction in our strip ratio, maybe to the order of 2 or 1.5 to 1. So if I can move half of the rock to get to the same amount of ore, you're going to see the economics increase significantly and our costs go down. And if we can do that early in the mine life, we will expedite the payback of that mine, drive the NAV, and return a higher free cash flow profile early. So the easier it is to get to the rock and the less amount of material you have to move to get to the gold is going to drive the economics. And in a low-grade bulk tonnage like we are, it's all about scales of economy and being efficient.
So, Justin, what type of numbers are you guys looking for to give you the go-ahead to start development here? Because you already have 8.1 million ounces. That's going to grow. You're going to be showing some further economics with a pre-feasibility study. So you are going to be de-risking this asset to a pretty strong degree. What are you looking for to finally pull that plug and simply move into development?
Well, you'll see this is really about a de-risking process. And the pre-feasibility, we're seeing preliminary numbers back. I'm very excited about where we are on it. We will immediately move it to a feasibility. And it's not going to take long to get that completed. All of our geotech work, all of our metallurgical work, and all of our tailings work is already done at a feasibility level. Our project descriptions, which are essentially the kickoff to the permitting, are finalized. And so, yeah, I don't think it's a matter of if we are pushing forward to production. It's a function of us just going through the regulatory process. And so the pre-feasibility early July is going to be the real kickoff to an incredibly fast-paced year through feasibility, permitting, and then ultimately to a construction point, which we figure we'll be in 2024, which is not far away. It's a year and a half away, depending on permitting. And I also think the great timing, all these mining operations are getting impacted in the inflationary cycle right now. Everything is, all costs are running over. CapEx creep is hitting everywhere. I think when Troilus gets to a construction decision, you'll see us coming down the other side of the inflationary curve, which I think will be great news for us.
Well, Justin, just in the near term, as investors keep following along, I know there's more drilling on tap and there's more news to come. What are the key takeaways you want people to watch, let's say, over the next few months as the company continues to put out more news?
Certainly the major events in the next 2 months, it's going to be a brand new resource, which will include over 150, almost 160,000 meters of drilling since our last, including our inaugural reserve, plus the pre-feasibility. And those are our two major events. As well, look for permitting news. And what's exciting about Troilus is that we have 1,400 square kilometers of some of the most fertile ground in Quebec that for the first time has been explored in 50 years. And we have a lot of exploration news, just like the Tassard results that we put out a few weeks ago, coming. So while we are through working within the bureaucratic monotony of permitting a mine, you're going to see a lot of exploration news. And one of our mantras here is that Troilus isn't a mine, it's a district and a belt. And I think a lot of the news that our investors are going to see over the next short while is going to show that there are a lot more discoveries at Troilus.
Okay, Justin, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for the update on the news last week, and sounds like there's going to be a lot more news coming, so we'll be paying attention. And if anybody has any follow-up questions on what's coming or any of the recent drilling from Troilus Gold, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. We'll get Justin and the team over at Troilus to address those. Justin, thanks again for the update, and please keep us up to date on future news.
Thanks for the attention, guys.